Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Corbett. So glad that you're tuning in today. We are going through a really cool series called Why. And then we're going to, why what? Well, last broadcast we talked about why should we believe that Jesus is the only way. Today we want to talk about the subject of why should we trust the Bible? The first question is, if I were to ask a series of spiritual questions, would you be brutally honest? When it comes to this matter of the scriptures, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? The second question would be, if it is true that the Bible is the Word of God, and I can show you from God's Word how to be a Christian, would you do it? So let's talk today about the power of the Word of God. Should we trust the Bible? And I think that we should. You know, 3 out of 4 young people walk away from their faith when they graduate from high school. Why? In part because we have never told them why our faith is true. They've discovered that the Christians, the young people who do not walk away from Christ, have a high view of the church, have a high view of Scripture, and have a high view of the fact that they are needed within the body of Christ, and they have been genuinely born again. So we begin by asking the question, not only is the Bible trustworthy, but does truth exist? The Bible can't be true if truth doesn't exist. The Bible can't be true if truth doesn't exist, or if it's just true for you and for me, it's not all truth, because in that case, it would be relative truth. You've heard these claims, right? If there is no truth, the Bible can't be true, of course. If there is no truth, any book written by an atheist can't be true either, right? This is called relativism. What is the easiest way to refute relativism? If somebody ever says to you there is no truth, what you say is true, what you say is false, but there is no truth. You could ask them, is that true of that statement? They just made a dogmatic statement. Is it true that there is no truth? That's somewhat self-defeating. It's like saying, I can't speak a word of English. It's self-defeating because I'm speaking in English. It's like saying, my parents have no kids that lived. Or it's like saying, my brother is an only child. If somebody says there are no absolutes, what would you say? I would say, are you absolutely sure? If somebody says, well, you should not judge, then why are you judging me for judging? Judge not, lest you be judged. By the same standard you judge others, you will also be judged by that standard. So before we try to pick out the speck in our brother's eyes, take a look at the log in our own eye. Then you'll be better able to help your brother. So truth does exist. So the second question would be, well, does God exist? The Bible cannot be true if there is no God. There can't be a word of God if there is no God. And there's good evidence that there is a spaceless, timeless, immaterial, powerful, moral person, intelligent creator out there. We go through the evidence in the book. The bottom line is, in this universe, it has exploded into our being out of nothing. Sometimes people call this the Big Bang Theory. You know, a lot of people out there saying, well, we don't believe in the Big Bang Theory. Well, I want you to know, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. The Big Bang Theory is this: bang, God said it, and it happened, right? Genesis 1:1 says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the bottom line is this: space, time, and matter had a beginning out of nothing. Well, here's another question that people may be asking. Are miracles possible? Obviously, the Bible can't be true if miracles are not possible. If miracles are not possible, then throw away the Bible, throw away any other book that talks about miracles. A lot of people have trouble believing in miracles. They say, well, I can't believe in Noah. They can't believe in the resurrection. I can't believe in Jonah. That is a whale of a tale of a story. I can't believe that. What's the deal with Jonah? Can you believe that? What is the greatest miracle in the Bible? I always hear that the greatest miracle in the Bible is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, here's the next question. Is the Bible true? Why should I trust the Bible. Well, I'm going to quickly give you some things that hopefully will just whet your appetite and give you an opportunity to dig deeper on your own. But first of all, archaeologists confirm what is found in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 9:5, for example, there is a passage of that scripture that says that talking about the brothers of the Lord, and that would be talking about James. And as we look at that, the archaeologists have discovered that there is a box that they found, and in this box was etched in Aramaic words on the outside of that box, and it's in a cursive form of writing that was used between AD 10 and AD 70, and it's called the James Box. And on this box is the inscription of the name of James and inside of the remains of James himself. So here's just one small example that James existed. The first century Jewish historian Josephus says that around AD 62, the high priest Annas argued for the death of one James, the brother of Jesus, who is called Christ Messiah. It is historically believed that James achieved martyrdom when his critics threw him down from the temple pinnacle and then finished him by clubbing him to death. It is ironic that 1900 years later, James in his ossuary is found, and in that is the inscription of what happened to him. Unbelievable. Archaeologists confirming just one small part of what the Bible says about the half-brother of Jesus, James. I could go on more and more about the archaeological evidence. That would take the rest of the broadcast to talk about that, but there's other things that confirm the Bible is reliable. The second reason I would believe that the Bible is reliable and trustworthy is because of the manuscripts that actually confirm the Bible. In the summer of 1947, a young Arabian boy, Juma, lost track of one of his goats that he was supposed to be watching. That goat wandered off and went into a cave, went into one of the lowest points on the earth, on the side of the hillside, out in the Middle East, not just outside of the Dead Sea. He goes in after his goat, and as he chases that goat, he discovers something inside of these little caves. He runs home and tells his dad what he found inside of this little cave. And he tells his dad there were ghosts in the cave. And the father says, no, there's no ghosts. Maybe there's treasure in that pottery that you found in that cave. Maybe it was silver. Maybe it was gold. So the next day they went and they checked out what had happened. They looked inside one of the caves and they found old worn out jars, broken pottery. Inside were scrolls with leather backing. They took the scrolls, sold it to a local trader who was going to sell them to a shoe cobbler. Since the scrolls had a leather backing, the shoe cobbler was going to rip them up and make shoes out of them. Good thing that didn't happen. Eventually, some Israeli scholars secured them. They looked into the caves, and they found 20 caves full of scrolls called the Dead Sea Scrolls. They discovered the oldest manuscripts of the Old Testament ever to be have found, written over 100 years before Jesus was even born. One scroll wrote about this in a portion of scripture they found on the book of Isaiah. Proved to be the word for word identical with the standard Hebrew Bible in more than 95% of its text. That 5% variation consists chiefly of obvious slips of the pen and variations of spelling. You see, these dead scrolls are so valuable that they're housed right now in Jerusalem and they're being protected. Unbelievable. It's protected in the Shrine of the Book. So priceless are these Dead Sea Scrolls that they're stored in a nuclear-proof elevator. If a nuclear attack should come, the elevator would descend down into a cement shaft into the ground and automatically cover over with a cement block these protected scrolls. Amazing when you think about it. The Dead Sea Scrolls of 1947 fulfill what Jesus said in Matthew 24. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Well, we have the manuscripts to prove that the Word of God is reliable. We have archaeologists that prove the Bible is reliable. But we also have, number three, prophecy that confirms the Bible. You know, the birth of Jesus was actually foretold 700 years before it happened. This is how Micah put it, Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over all of Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient of times. You know, physicists realized that there's some accuracy and they can find out how accurate something is based upon doing some tests on it. One subject that separates the Bible from any other book of prophecy is the prophecies and how precise they are. Many times they're hundreds or even thousands of years in advance, and they are fulfilled to the smallest detail. A fall or a prophecy. 20 nights look deep into the biblical issues and prophecies, and they absolutely amaze people who have never really read them. There are over 300 prophecies fulfilled in the person of Christ. Genesis predicted a Savior to the earth. Revelation predicts he's coming again. The Bible predicted Jesus thousands of years before he was even born. Precise, detailed prophecies, such as that he would be born, Isaiah 7:14, that he would be born and there would be a sign, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. The Bible also prophesied how he would die. Psalm 34:20 says that his bones will be protected and not one of them will be broken. We saw that fulfilled when Jesus was on the cross. The soldiers were told to go and break the bones of those who were hanging on the cross, and that would accelerate their demise, because when you die of crucifixion, you actually die of asphyxiation. And if you can't push back up, you can't get that next breath. When they went to break the bones of Christ, they said, oh, we don't need to break his bones. He's already dead. Little did those Roman soldiers understand, they were actually fulfilling prophecy from Psalm 34:20. There's a prophecy that Jesus would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. That's found in Psalm 55:12, found in Zechariah 11:12 and 13. There's a prophecy that said that his side would be pierced, but he wouldn't have any broken bones. Again, Psalm 22 and Psalm 34. It's prophesied that soldiers would gamble for his coat. Psalm 22:18. It is prophesied that he would rise from the dead. Psalm 16:10. If so many of these prophecies about his first coming are fulfilled, we can trust it when Jesus says that he's coming again for those who are living for him. Well, here's a fourth reason why we can believe the Bible. Now, this one may set you back just a little bit, but we can believe the Bible because of the embarrassing testimonies that confirm the Bible. Followers in the Bible, followers of God, followers of Christ, made major blunders in their lives. You see, if that book was written by human authors, they wouldn't be sharing the blunders of their life. Abraham, for example, was old and he lied. Sarah laughed at God's promises. Moses, he stuttered and he questioned God's judgment in picking him. He even killed a man. David's armor didn't fit. He was too young. He also killed a man and had an affair. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Jacob was a liar. Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. Samson was seduced and not very intelligent. Noah got drunk. Lot committed incest. John was self-righteous. The Apostle Paul was a terrorist. Peter denied Christ. All the disciples abandoned Christ. I don't know about you, but if I'm writing a book, I'm not going to be telling those stories. But we know that the Bible is true because the Bible records the good, the bad, and the ugly. Jesus gave amazing claims that was found in the Word. Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You're not even 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid and he went out into the temple, going through the midst of them, and he passed by them. Exodus 3:14, "I am that I am has sent you." That phrase that God told Moses to use when he confronted Pharaoh is the same phrase that Jesus used to defend who he was. He is the self-existent, eternal God. Well, here's the fifth reason why you can believe the Bible. Not only does God's word record some of the bad testimonies of some of the characters found in the Bible, but also eyewitnesses confirm the veracity of the Word of God. There are scores of details in the text of the New Testament documents that have been verified either through secular sources or archaeologists, which tell us that these writings were telling the truth. In fact, There are 84 such details in the book of Acts alone, from chapter 13 to chapter 28. They're all listed in the book. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. He lists all of these reasons why we can trust the New Testament account of what Jesus said, what Jesus did. There are 59 such details in the Gospel of John, all listed in chapter 10 of the book. You can see that these eyewitness details of the witness of the resurrection of Christ can be trusted. Well, there's a sixth reason why we can trust the Bible, and that is the martyrdom of Christians confirms the Bible. Some people may die for a lie, and they think that is true, but no sane person will die for a lie that they know is a lie. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible tells us that while we were still helpless, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For no one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man, somebody would dare to even die. Those who died for the faith and continue to die for the faith confirm that the Bible is not only worth living for, it is worth dying for. What a powerful book the Bible is. Why is the Bible so powerful? Because Jesus said, He is the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When we are reading the Bible, we are actually reading Christ in His life. There's another reason why we should trust the Bible. And if you haven't bought into any of the other reasons I've given previously, this is one that you cannot argue with, and that is that changed lives confirm the Bible. We would call this like an impact event. In the conversion of Paul in Acts chapter 9, for example, we see that his life is radically changed. It's changed by the power of the Word of God. I hope that you have been changed by the Word of God today. I hope that your life is different because of what Christ has done for you. Maybe you weren't raised in a Christian home. Maybe you were in a home that was very abusive. Maybe you had a poor upbringing. I read you the story of a man who had such an upbringing. He says, I wasn't raised in what you would call an openly Christian home. My dad was both an alcoholic and an abusive husband to my mom. Thankfully, my mom was a brave lady and she had the courage to stand up to him so that I was able to attend church with my grandpa. I was very thankful that grandpa continued to take me and continued to share with me the childhood memories of going to Sunday school and continued to share with me Christian songs like This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine. As I was singing that song one day, I received God into my heart. This 12-year-old boy became a follower of Christ. This 12-year-old boy, as he was a follower of Christ, began to grow in his faith, and he began to go out and tell others about what God had done in his life. A year later, when he was 13, his dad died. His mom moved to Kentucky to live with his sister while they attended a church there, and he was baptized in a local lake. That church had a significant life-altering effect on his life. He says, I haven't always made the best choices in my life, but I never let go of my faith in God. Over the past couple of years, he saw the greatest challenges coming into his life, but every step of the way, he found courage and he trusted God. This man that I'm talking about is a man that is heavily involved in leading people to Christ, and he's a man whose life was changed radically because of the gospel of Christ. That man could be you. That man could be me. I want you to know today that God loves you and His Word will change you. There's a reason why so many people are trying to snuff out the Word of God. There's a reason that so many people are trying to deny the power of God's Word. Last night in our small group, as we were gathered together, we were going through how to share the gospel with people. And I shared with them the fact that so many times people will come up to you and say, well, the Bible can't be trusted because there's so many contradictions in the Word of God. There are hundreds of contradictions within the Word of God. I told my small group last night, well, ask them one simple question. Well, I don't care about hundreds of them, but could you just show me one contradiction that you know of in the Bible? You see, they can't. The reason they say there are hundreds of contradictions within the Bible is because that's what somebody has told them, but they've never searched it for themselves. I want you to know that the Word of God is powerful. It is a dangerous book for you to read it if you don't know the Savior, because as you read that book, it will change your life. Somebody put it this way, sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. If you get into God's Word, I promise you, it will change your life. We are told to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who is not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So today, as you're listening to this broadcast and you're cruising down the road maybe, I want you to realize that Christ loves you unconditionally. Not only does he love you, he's really fond of you. He likes you. He doesn't want to be separated from you. Maybe you're feeling that tugging at your heart and say, I need to do something. I need to have a change of direction in my life. My life is falling apart. I'm miserable. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I'm defeated. I want you to know that God has given us his word. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The word of God lights our path. It directs our lives. It gives us everlasting life. Oh, today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I pray that today will be your day of salvation. You know, many years ago, I learned how to share my faith using the acrostics of faith. It's a five-letter word, faith, F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. When we look at forsaking all and trusting him, we are realizing that letter F is that we need forgiveness. Every one of us have sinned. Everyone needs God's forgiveness. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God's forgiveness is available in Jesus only. Ephesians 1, 7 says, in him, that's Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to his riches in grace. When you go to the letter A, A stands for available. You know, salvation is available for everyone. God's forgiveness is available for all. The most famous verse in the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, it's available to all, but it's not automatic. God's forgiveness is not automatic. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, now don't miss this, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. When you look at the book of James, James talks about those who have demon faith. It says that the demons believe in Christ and they shudder. They're fearful. They have a fearful faith. They have an acknowledgement of who Jesus is, but they don't believe in him. So many people have said a little sentence prayer. We would maybe call this jailhouse religion, where they cried out to the Lord, but their heart was never changed. Forgiveness is available for all, but it's not automatic. Letter I. You see, it's impossible. According to the Bible, it is impossible for us to get to heaven on our own. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For God's grace, by his grace, we are saved. It is a gift of God, not through our works, lest any man should boast. It is impossible for us to be good enough to be accepted by God. He knew that. And so he said, I'm going to give you my son, and he's going to be giving you salvation because he is paying for your sins. The letter T in faith stands for turn. You've got to turn direction. If we're cruising on the highway together and we realize, hey, we're going the wrong way, and you say to me, hey, we need to turn around. So I turn the car around. I flip a U-E. That is a change of direction. That is repentance. Luke 13, 3 says, unless you repent, that is you turn from your sins, you will all likewise perish. And then letter H stands for him. The only name that can save us is Jesus. Romans 10, 13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord. That's how great our salvation is. We call upon the Lord and he brings about redemption. A friend of mine wrote this simple little prayer. It's called the Sinner's Prayer. And I wanted to read this to you, and you can quote this prayer along with me. And by doing so, you can receive that free gift of salvation. Dear Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe Jesus died for my sins on the cross and that he rose again the third day. I repent of my sins. By faith, I receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior. You promised to save me, and I believe you because you are God and you cannot lie. I believe right now the Lord Jesus is my personal Savior, and all my sins are forgiven through his precious blood. I thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it from the bottom of your heart, you are now my brother or my sister in Christ. I would love to hear from you. You can send me an email, hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org, all one word, no spaces, hopeforyourheart@hrcc and the number 7.org. Or if it's easier for you to give me a call, you can call me at the church. That number is 757-421-7500. If you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to get into a good church. Maybe you can come by and pay us a visit at Hickory Ridge Community Church. We meet Sundays at 9 o'clock and 11, 3320 South Battlefield Boulevard in the Hickory section of Chesapeake. Thank you so much for listening today. God bless you.
For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.